day is about King Joash and likewise about King Hezekiah, found in the second book of Kings in the 18th chapter. We have been speaking to you about this King Joash, how that while Jehoiada lived, he did everything which was right in the sight of the Lord. But as soon as Jehoiada died, then we find that the princes of these countries, they came to him and they congratulated him because Jehoiada had died. He had been under the discipline of Jehoiada, and he had listened to Jehoiada and done that which was good in the sight of God. But now, Jehoiada being dead, these princes, they praised him because he had complete authority now and he could do as he pleased. And they desired him to erect the idols that had been in the land before Jehoiada had brought a reformation to take place. And therefore he consented to these princes and let them build these idols again and these altars so that they could serve these gods that they thought were gods. How quickly did Joash depart from the teachings and from the instructions that he had received from Jehoiada? It was easy to win this man over. It proves to us that this man had no grace in his soul. For if he had had grace in his soul, he would have continued on as Jehoiada had taught him. We see in this, my hearers, that no priest, no minister, no counselor, no teacher can assist us in giving grace into our souls. That grace is the sovereign gift of God to sinners. And this Joash, he likewise went and served these idols with these princes and people, and he turned away from the worship of God. How sad it is to read these things in Scripture. And now these people, my hearers, aren't any different than you and I. For if we were put to the point, what would you do where you likewise come up every Lord's Day to worship? I am sure that at times you get tired of coming up to the house of God. You would like to have something new, some other form of worship maybe. There may be some amongst you that say, why do we have to come every week and every Sunday to God's house and have to go through the same form? Can't we have something different? That's what these princes wanted. They were tired of worshiping God in that old way and going to the temple as the Jews used to do. And therefore they turned away from God. We see Joash, he had had much zeal for the house of God when Jehoiada lived. He likewise insisted on the house being repaired and being built up again. He had, in this respect, an affection towards the house of God. Why did he have this? Well, he had lived in the house of God for almost 7 years, and therefore he had an affection to that place. And not because he had any love to God and to his service, but this was the only reason. And now there may be some of you who likewise have contributed to the building of this house, this new house that we have. You have given out of the abundance of your heart in the offerings that have been collected. And likewise, it may be that you fear that you might do the same as this man Joash did. It may be that you only did this to receive a good name, to be honored by the people. Maybe that you were on the committees even, that you helped even in the building of this particular edifice that we are in at the present time. And maybe now you're afraid that someday you may do just like this man Joash did. You fear sometimes maybe you'll turn away. You know, we have an altogether different form of worship as other churches have, and we are, in a way, a little stricter than other churches. And therefore, it may be that you have in your mind, well, why can't we go somewhere else? other places. You're allowed to have a television, you're allowed to have a radio, you're allowed to have so many things, and still they call each other Christians. Where in our particular church and the teachings that we have according to the Word of God, you cannot have these things and be a member of the church. Therefore, you would like probably to depart and say, why do I have to have this strictness and these things that bring me to this house which I have in my heart an abhorrence to? Oh, my hearers, may God keep you from departing from the service of God. And may it not be in your heart as it was in the hearts of the Jews and of this King Joash, who left the house of God and began to serve idols. And now what happened to him? The wrath of God came upon them. For we read at the end of the year that then God sent a host of the Assyrians upon them, and they smote the people, and they took much of the princes of the people away, and they likewise left this king Joash in great diseases. What these diseases were, the commentary says maybe it was diseases of the body or diseases of the mind. But he was smitten by the Assyrians. God visited him for his sins. And now he probably thought, because he was sick and afflicted, that he would be spared from dying. But they conspired against him, because, as I said last week, he had had Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, slain. And this man, Zechariah, he had spoken to them in the name of God. He had given them a message as the Spirit gave him to speak. He had warned them that they should not continue on in their sins, for the Lord had forsaken them because they had forsaken God. And while he was delivering this message, the king commanded that he should be stoned to death. And therefore, God visited this king for this particular reason. The Jews say in the slaying of Zechariah, there were seven sins connected with it. This man, Zechariah, he had been a prophet, he had likewise been a priest, he had been a judge. He had been also killed in the court of the temple of the Lord. And likewise, they had shed innocent blood. And they had done this on the Sabbath day and also on the Day of Atonement. There were then seven sins connected with the slaying of Zechariah. And now, in Chronicles we read that he not only slew Zechariah, but he slew the sons of Jehoiada, which teaches us that he slew more than one, this King Joash. This was then the way that he rewarded the kindness that Jehoiada had done unto him. He slew his sons. And therefore wrath came upon him, and where he was sick and afflicted, they conspired against him, and two of his servants went in, and they slew him upon his sickbed. They put a sword through him and ended his life. This was the end of this king, Joash. In the beginning of his reign, he was wonderfully and mercifully spared by God like Moses. He was hid in the temple like Moses was hid from the Pharaoh and from the Egyptians. And then in the end of his life, we see what took place with him. All this teaches us that grace, sovereign grace, is so free, and that God is the bestower of it. And now our lesson passes by quite a number of kings, and we come to a king by the name of Hezekiah. He was a God-fearing king, it says on the top of our lesson. And we find that this young man was born to a king by the name of Ahaz. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And this young man was born to this king Ahaz. If there ever had been a wicked king, it was Ahaz. He had erected so many idols in the country. He had done so much evil and sin and leading the people away from God. He had shut the doors of the temple so they couldn't even go in to worship. He had destroyed all the sacred vessels that they had in the temple. And this was now the father of King Hezekiah. Can you believe that from this man would spring forth such a God-fearing king as Hezekiah? Here we have a family, the father of it, teaching idolatry, turning away from God. And this young man was in the midst of this family. His companions and those that tutored him and instructed him, they were all worshipers of idols. And yet in the midst of this family, we have this young man, Hezekiah. God had shed his grace abroad in his soul. We often read that in the scriptures. Amongst sometimes the most wicked kings, there was found one in the family that God had chosen. How sovereign is God in his choice of his people. How sovereign in his grace in the bestowal of it, even in this wicked family. That amidst all what was going on in this family, we find that there was one who was opposed to everything that they were doing. He had the grace of God in his soul. And this young man, when he became king, he immediately began to reveal what was in his heart. In the first year of his reign, in the first month of his reign, he opened the doors of the temple of the house of God. And he immediately began a reformation. He immediately began to tear down all the idols and the groves that the people had built and that his father had built. And he likewise took down the high places. All the other kings, they had connived at these places and left them there. But Hezekiah, he took these high places down, one at Bethel and one at Dan. And he called upon Israel to serve God in the right way. This man, he brought a reformation in the land. And Judah had been sunk very low. Idolatry flooded the country. And now God raises up a king, a God-fearing king, in the midst of all this, and we see a glorious reformation taking place. And this is the way it goes often with the elect of God. We see families, and we know them, and we see them. They care not about God. They do not worship God. They have turned away from all religion. And we see sometimes one of their children, he or she is such a terrible character. This family has sunk so low in the world and in sin that we think there's nothing ever going to become of that family. And lo and behold, sometimes God takes one out of that family and raises one up by his sovereign grace, as he did here in the house of this King Ahaz. He raised up Hezekiah. And all when this takes place, my hearers, what a reformation takes place in such a person's life. Or there may be some of my hearers who have experienced something like what Hezekiah likewise began to do in the land of Judah. And there may have been a time when you had your back towards God, when you said away with religion, away with the Bible, and you were going to serve the world and serve sin and serve your flesh and serve the devil. You cared not what anybody said to you. Onward you would go. Maybe there are some amongst me that were doing this. And lo and behold, God came into your heart. You couldn't go on any longer with your sins and with your iniquities. God turned you face about. You had your back to him, but now you came to him and you fell in before him. And oh, what a change took place in your life. Oh, you were led to seek God. You were led to pray as you never did before. You began to read his word. You began to search that, and you found so much in it that you never found before in it. You began to come to the house of God faithfully, or you began to listen as you never listened before. God gave you ears to hear and heart to receive his truth. Oh, you didn't know what was taking place with you. Oh, what a change had come upon you. Oh, what a blessed reformation taking place in your outward life. And likewise, what a change inside. And oh, as this man Hezekiah, he cast out all the idols that was in the land. He put down these high places. So it went with you. Oh, if you had a radio, if you had a television, if you had any books in your home, out the door they went. Oh, you couldn't bear to have those things in your home. A reformation which was not done in halves, but was complete. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, when this takes place in our life. When we are given to go to God and to serve Him faithfully, uprightly, and truthfully. And this man, he done that which was right in the sight of God. He loved Him. He clave to God with all his heart. He made conscience of everything that he did so that he would glorify God. And there was none like Hezekiah, none before him and none after him. He was a true son of David. He walked in all the commandments of God, and he loved God, and he obeyed God. Are there any here that have had something like that in their lives? Are there any like Hezekiah amongst my hearers? Have you ever had such love to God and to his commandments, my hearers? Have you made conscience of everything that you did so that it was to the glory of him? Oh, what a mercy, my hearers. When this grace begins to work in a person's soul, it breaks out in his outward deeds as likewise in his inward life. We see this in Hezekiah. He immediately restored the service in the temple. He called the priest and the Levites together, and he said to them, look now, look what God has done. He came into the land of Israel. He carried the Israelites captive into Babylon. And there they are because of their sins. And now if you want that to happen to us, continue on in your sins. But all it is in my heart at the present time to make a covenant with the Lord our God and to serve him and to worship him. And all he desired that these priests and these Levites would likewise cleanse the temple and prepare the temple so that the people could again come into the temple and worship God, that they would again institute the offerings and sacrifices which Moses had commanded. And he set these priests and Levites to work, and they went in, and they dedicated themselves to the service of God. They consented to what he said and commanded. Have you ever had that in your life, my hearers? Have you ever had it in your heart to make a covenant with the Lord your God? And that you would serve him and faithfully serve him, so that his wrath would turn away from you. For Hezekiah seen how the wrath of God had come down upon Israel, and all he put this to the people, that this same wrath would come upon them if they continued on in their sins. Therefore, he desired that the people would turn back to God and serve him and turn away from their sins. And now these Levites and priests, and they went in and they cleansed the temple. It took 8 days to do so. And after 16 days, they came back and said the work was completed. And then we find Hezekiah, he gathered all the people together and they began to institute the worship as it had been when Moses had commanded the Israelites to serve God the way God had given it to him and the way God had instructed him. And all the people were glad because this had taken place. And now after this had taken place, Hezekiah sends throughout the whole land, he sends out messages that everybody should come up to Jerusalem to worship God and should keep the Passover. For they hadn't kept the Passover for so many years. It was an institution of God. God had commanded Israel that they should remember this forever. And every year they were commanded that you have this Passover. And this was something that they were to remember God by, how that he had delivered them in the land of Egypt. That night when he sent a destroying angel among the people, and this destroying angel had destroyed all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, but had spared all the firstborn of the Israelites. It was a night much to be remembered by the Israelites, and they had forgotten all about it. They hadn't had any remembrance of it for years. His father had broken away from all this, and there was no remembrance of that. But now Hezekiah, he sent out messages that they all should come up and that they should observe the Passover. And many of them, they came, and they humbled themselves, and they came to Jerusalem. But others, they mocked, and they derided the messengers, and they cared not about coming. Oh, this Passover, my hearers, is likewise in our days that which we also have in our house of worship at times. This particular time we have only two times a year, our Passover, the Lord's Supper. Oh, how often has not this message come to you, that you likewise should return unto the Lord, that you should forsake your sins and serve him. Many times the messengers have pleaded with you, and you, like these people maybe, you haven't derided or mocked the messengers, but you have said, it's not for me. It's not for me. I'm not one of the elect. I'm not one of the chosen. So it's not for me. And you have paid a total disregard unto the call that goes forth for you to come and to observe the Passover, the Lord's Supper. And my hearers, a year after year goes by, and you do not pay any heed to it. The message comes to you, but what do? You go on in your sins. You'd rather have your sins than have the Lord. You'd rather go on as you're going, knowing that the wrath of God is hanging over your head, and that soon it may follow you to the uttermost. Still you go on in your sins. Oh, my hearers, have you never put it into practice? What Esther put into practice? You know Esther, she was asked by Mordecai to go into the king, knowing that if she went into the king and he held not out the golden scepter, that it meant her life. But we find that Esther said, I will go in. If I perish, I will perish. Have you ever put that into practice? Have you ever thought in your heart, I will go to this king. I'm going to perish. Her life was at stake. It depended upon whether he held out the scepter to her. And when she went in, we find he held out the scepter to her. Oh, may I entreat you, my hearers, to do as Esther did. Oh, is not death hanging over you? Are you not, if you continue on in your sins, are going to feel the wrath of God to the uttermost in hell below? Oh, may I not entreat you in God's name to come back to the Lord, to forsake your sins? And who knows whether he will not hold out the golden scepter to you? Or what have you to lose by what I am entreating you to do? There is everything to gain by it and nothing to lose. Oh, do not deride and mock this message that comes to you in love. Although it may be a feeble instrument that is entreating you to return to God, to forsake your sins, believe me, it's in love to your soul that the message still comes to you. Oh, turn ye, wherefore will ye die? Oh, this God in heaven above is a merciful God. He's more ready and more willing to forgive you your sins than you are to return unto him. Oh, may you find him to be so, and may you be led by his Spirit to seek him while it is yet called today. And now we find it in the fourth year of the reign of Hezekiah that the Israelites, who had sinned so greatly, had been carried away captive to Babylon. This man Hezekiah, he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and he would not pay him the tribute that his father did. And now we find in the 14th year of his reign that this king, Sennacherib, he came up to the city of Jerusalem, and he set his army against it. He surrounded this city. And we find that Hezekiah, he sent word to him and entreated him to return from this city and asked him what he had, what he could give him, because he had been not obedient to this king. And he laid a tribute upon Hezekiah, 300 talents of gold and 30 talents of silver. And this man Hezekiah took all the gold and all the silver that was in the house of God, and he gave it unto this king that he would depart from him. He had then surrounded the city of Jerusalem. It was in the first year of this war that this king Hezekiah became very sick. In the midst of his reformation, in the midst where a Syrian army was surrounding the city, this king was stricken with a deathly sickness, a sickness that got worse and worse. They called in the physicians, and they all turned their heads and said, no, there's no hope for this man. He steadily got worse and worse. Oh, my hearers, have you ever had such an experience in your life? Maybe you had a husband, maybe you had a wife. They got sick, they got deathly sick. You resorted to the physicians. They came, they looked, they shook their heads, they took you to one side and they said, we can't do anything for her or for him. Oh, what an awful thing it is, my hearers, if you have something like that in your life to remember. When you've lost your partner in life, before it took place, you said, I don't know what I'm going to do, how I'm going to get along without her, without him. Oh, sickness, my hearers, comes upon each and every creature, whether we be kings, whether we be princes, whether we be rich or poor. Sickness, afflictions are the lot of mankind. We have here a God-fearing king, a king that was doing a wonderful work, stricken by the hand of God, very sick. And now we have God coming to the prophet Isaiah, and he says to this prophet, arise and go and speak to my child Hezekiah, and say unto him, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Isaiah came to Hezekiah with this message from God. God had sent this message to him. He entered in and said unto him, Hezekiah, set your house in order, because God has said you shall die and not live. All my hearers, all hope that he had had, all expectation that he had that he would get better and that he would live, was cut off. The word of God cut him off. Thou shalt die and not live. Oh, my hearers, what an awful message this was unto Hezekiah. And we find, my hearers, that this man didn't give up hope. He didn't despair. He didn't say, well, God said I gotta die, so I might just as well give up. No. What did he do? He turned his face to the wall. And he began to pray. All my hearers, and when he began to pray, he began to say, Lord, you know how I have walked before thee and done that which is good in thy holy sight. Could you ever say something like that, my hearers? If you were on the verge of dying, could you turn to God and say, Lord, you know how I have done good in thy holy sight? I don't think anyone here that's listening to me could do that. I think every one of us would say, Lord, I've been such a great sinner. I deserve to die. But Hezekiah came before God with what grace had given him to do. It was grace that had caused him to do these things. He came, it is true, with his own righteousness. He came with what God had given him to do, but it was true. And he turned his face to the wall, and he began to chatter, and he began to mourn like a dove. Oh, this man Hezekiah, and he was on the verge of eternity, my hearers. Do you think Hezekiah was so much concerned about living? Do you think that's why he was praying? Oh, no, my hearers. You know, Hezekiah was a God-fearing man. And Hezekiah, he had been looking and waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and to save him, and he hadn't come. He hadn't been delivered. His sins hadn't been pardoned yet. We read that in Isaiah. He said, I will not see the Lord in the land of the living. He was looking for the Lord to come. He was looking for to be delivered, and he had not come. And God had cut him off now. The sentence of death came upon him. Thou shalt surely die and not live. Oh, how could he appear before God? He came with his own righteousness, but that was insufficient. Oh, we find him now moaning and groaning and chattering like a crane and like a swallow. Oh, the righteousness of God, the law of God came into his soul and demanded what was necessary to pay, and he had it not. And all we find it in his great distress, he said, Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. We find his faith directed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this short prayer he sends up to Jesus, Lord, I am oppressed. Oh, he thought he was going to be pressed down into hell. He thought he was going to be lost forever. Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And this short prayer, my hearers, came up unto God, and God heard that prayer. Oh, God answered this prayer in a wonderful way. For we read afterwards, after he had been recovered from his sickness, that he says, the Lord had in love to my soul, because he was ready to save me, he likewise hath forgiven my sins and cast them behind his back. Oh, the wonder of Hezekiah, that he realized not that it was God that was ready to save him. God was ready to deliver him. He was blind for that. He realized it not. And as he had been praying, this man Isaiah had still been in this palace, and he was going out the threshold of the door, and the Lord came to Isaiah and says to him, turn back and speak unto my servant Hezekiah, and say unto him, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, and I will add 15 years to thy life. And on the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, and I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, for I will defend this city. Oh, Isaiah had another message now to this man Hezekiah. He had to return back to him and tell him that God had heard his prayer, that God had seen his tears, and that God would restore him back to health again, and that he would add 15 years to his life, and that he would likewise upon the third day go up into the house of the Lord, and that God would deliver this city from him, the king of Assyria, for he would defend that city. Oh, what a glorious message this prophet Isaiah had for this king. You see in this, my hearers, how that God uses the ministry of his servants. He used the ministry of Isaiah to cut Hezekiah off. Have you ever been cut off in the house of God? Has the word ever come with power divine to your soul? My hearers, the word that Isaiah brought unto Hezekiah set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live, comes to you and I. Now this word most certainly shall be fulfilled in each and every one of our lives. And what is it to set our house in order? It is to make a will. If we have any enemies, we are to call upon them. If we were to cause that they were our enemies, we would ask them for forgiveness. We are to set things in order so that when we die, everything shall be taken care of. If we have any debts, we are to square them. Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That comes to you, my hearers. We are all under the sentence of death. Every one of us must die. We know not how soon, how quick that may take place, how awful it is if it takes place without the grace that Hezekiah had in his soul. Oh, what a vast difference it is if we have this spark of life in our hearts as it was in the heart of Hezekiah. That thou shalt die and not live. It is appointed unto man to die, and thereafter judgment. Oh, may you seek an interest in the person of Jesus Christ, who triumphed over death and who sits at the right hand of the Father. Oh, who receiveth sinners. Oh, what a blessing, my heavens. And now this man, he came back and said, I have heard thy prayer. This was the message that he had to Hezekiah. Have you ever had that God heard your prayers, my hearers? Have you ever had an answer to prayer? Have you ever had anybody sick like Hezekiah in your house? A child, your wife, your husband? I believe there are some amongst my hearers that have been very near to death's door at times, and God has heard prayer. God has restored you back to health and strength again. Has God ever heard your prayer? For your soul's encouragement, for your soul's salvation? Oh, what a mercy, my hearers. If he has ever given you any token, any witness, any promise in your heart that he will heal you, that he will deliver you, that he will prepare you to be with him in heaven above. This was concerning the sickness of Hezekiah, and God said that he would heal him and that he would make him well again. So he speaks to his children and gives them encouragements to believe that their sins and the wounds that they feel because of them shall be healed. This great physician of souls, he mercifully speaks to those that seek him and that need him. And this man, Hezekiah, he likewise was told, I have seen thy tears. You know, tears, my hearers, I have many of them myself, but they're no ground for eternity. It is true, tears are a sign of humility, of brokenness, and of contrition. And may I ask you, has God ever seen you with tears streaming down your face because of your sins, because you have done so much evil in his holy sight? Has he ever seen you inside in an inner chamber somewheres, or wherever it may be, upon your knees, your tears rolling down your cheeks? Oh God, I'm such a sinner, I'm such a wretched creature, I'm such a black monster in thy holy sight. I've never done anything that's good. I've always sinned against you. Oh, I wish every one of you were brought there, my ears. Oh, where can we find such creatures today? And that lament and that cry and that weep and that groan because they have sinned against such a good God and they need forgiveness. Oh, I wish every one of you could be said of you, I've seen your tears. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, if you have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. The Lord Jesus says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And let me say, if you never mourn, if you never have any godly sorrow in your soul for your sins, you'll never be saved, my hearers. And that's the word of God. And now, my hearers, this man likewise was given to hear that he would be made well again, and that the third day he would go up into the house of the Lord. Has God ever given you a token, a sign, not only that you will go up into the house of the Lord, but into that house which is in heaven above, and that mansions prepared in the skies for all his children? In this life sometimes they are given to believe that to heaven they will go when they die. There's a time coming when the Lord will take them home to himself, and they will be forever with the Lord. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, if you have had something like this in this life. And this man Hezekiah, he was given to experience that all his sins were cast behind the back of the Lord, and that he was forgiven, and he was restored back to health again. For the prophet Isaiah said, lay a clump of figs upon the wound, and he shall be healed. And we find that they did this, and this man Hezekiah was made well again. He was restored from his sickness, and he wanted a sign of the Lord to prove to him that upon the third day he would go up into the house of the Lord. And this was the sign that they gave, that the degrees in the dial of Ahaz would go back 10 degrees. The sun shining upon this dial would cause this dial to go back 10 degrees. And the sun went back so that this dial revealed 10 degrees difference. And this was the sign that Hezekiah received of the Lord, a proof that he would be made well and that he would again enter into the house of the Lord. Oh, there's no better place to go, my hearers, than to the house of the Lord if you have been restored, if you have been made well, even physically, from an affliction that has been laid upon you. Oh, to come up to the house of the Lord and to give thanks in his presence. Oh, this should be the attitude of each and every one of us every time we come up to worship him. My time has gone beyond 3 o'clock already, my hearers. Next week, the Lord willing, we will pick up the lesson again from this particular point and relate to you how that the Lord delivered Hezekiah and his people out of the hands of this king of Assyria who had come up and who had railed upon the Lord God of Israel. The Lord bless the feeble lesson this day to your immortal souls. That's all.